B-Pod Studios.
They're off. I think they are off.
Are they back?
They might be back.
I thought they were off.
Oh, man. I can see Donald Trump calling Uber Eats. Getting like a $28,000 Uber Eats bill. Him and Mike Pence squeezing all the ketchup packets. That'd be awesome.
Oh, man.
So let me ask you a question. I got a question real quick. So Carson Wentz, we can redo his deal now. We don't have to. If you don't at all, he could be franchise tagged, correct?
Who, Carson?
Yes. Yeah.
Carson. Carson can also be franchised, yes.
Yeah, but he has a couple more years left, though,
right,
before you can even franchise
time, right?
Yeah, after, so, I think it's after next season.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to say this now. This is how I'm calling this is going to go down. That Nick Foles gets offered somewhere between 2 to 3 year deal for like $18 million just to stay. Right? I think Nick Foles is comfortable here. He's already left once. He always says how much his family loves it here. I would not be surprised if he looks at this situation. He knows the offense. He knows the players. He loves the area. And he knows that there's probably a 50-50 chance that he's going to be playing at some point in the season, right, if all of this injury prone for Carson Wentz is true. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to figure out a way to keep them both, not sign Carson Wentz to that big deal yet, and worry about that problem 2 years from now. Because the best, the most important position to have a backup that could perform is the quarterback. It's been proven. If you're not going to sign Brandon Graham and you're not going to bring back Darby, which are two likely scenarios, I think there's enough money there to offer him $7 million that he could probably get somewhere else and let him just stay with the comfort factor. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, guys.
Mike, you broke up for $7 million, you think?
No, $7 million less. So
$7 million less, right. Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what you're saying.
Let's say he can get 25 somewhere else.
Right.
Give him 18. Right, so hey, we'll give you 18, a bunch of guaranteed money, 2 seasons, retire as an Eagle, and you know, there's a very good likelihood you're going to play.
Yeah, and you have a lot of, I'll say this, you should have a lot of money for the rookies that are coming in, so they're going to be coming at a pretty good price for you, and you might be filling a couple of the starter roles there with 11 picks. So yeah, there's definitely something there. Mike, I would not rule it out. I would not rule out the idea of Carson Wentz and Nick Foles being back here. The only thing that makes me doubt that it'll happen, and I do doubt that it will happen, I do think it's a possibility, is the fact I think that Nick Foles does want to start, and I think he does want to play, and I think he does want an opportunity to start week 1, play through week 16 or week 17, and into the playoffs with his own team.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't doubt that either. But the guy's won a Super Bowl already, and he left once. He knows what it's like, right? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Gilbert!
Thanks, Mike. Right. Appreciate it, buddy. And 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Here on 97.5, the Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank Financial Solutions for your business. Bob, what do you got?
Well, I was just saying, I don't know if the organization is ready. If they truly believe that Carson Wentz is their franchise quarterback, as great it would be to have Nick Foles, you know, on the field, have him as the backup, I don't know if mentally they want that challenge here next season. Mm. I think they need to, not that Carson's, you know, limited mentally that he can't handle Nick Foles being here, but it's a real possibility,
it
right?
It has created distraction.
Sure. Right. I mean, you know, like, I think if you really believe Carson wants your career, you need to do something where he goes, okay, here we go.
Yeah, but at the same time,
what's best for the team?
You need quality backup with Carson Wentz.
Well, do they believe in Nate Sudfeld?
I think they do.
I think they do, too.
Yeah.
But you need a quality backup with Carson Wentz.
I agree.
And
you're going to carry 3 quarterbacks. So, I mean, that means that you're going to draft someone, bring someone in, a free agent.
Yeah, but how much of a luxury is it to have Nick Foles? Is a luxury worth the price tag of having not just a guy that can be a good backup, but a guy that could be the Super Bowl MVP and a guy that could be starting 16 games elsewhere? Like, that seems like a luxury to me.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And look, if I'm just an XO's guy, damn straight, and usually that's me. I don't care what everybody thinks. I'm putting the best product I have. But there is that mental factor now, and it seems to be real. And we talked about, Jamie said, he looks beat up. Trey brought it up. We had all talked about it. He doesn't look right, doesn't sound himself. I think it's time that you'd need to clear away what's bothering Carson Wentz, and it appears to be Nick Foles.
Go ahead, Trey.
Do you say, all right, bring Foles back, and then does that clear Carson up to just play your game. Play whatever game you want to play your game. Or I want you to just cut loose. Don't worry about anything, because if anything goes bad, hey, we got Foles here.
Yeah.
You know?
What, the if anything goes bad part,
man,
is
if you get
it
hurt,
could be.
Don't worry about it. Right, yeah, Foles.
Yeah,
you know?
And then, if I'm Carson, I'm going, what does that mean? You mean if I go 10 for 25 and the fans start booing, I'm out? You know? Pop, pop, but zig, zig.
I can't believe you said that, James.
Don't you act like you're above it all of a sudden.
Yeah,
acting like I'm tweeting out pictures of Woogie from Something About Mary. Jeez.
Well, the man's got an issue.
Don't pull me into this.
He's been under stress.
Yeah, it's called nervous stress. It's called stress acne. We get it.
So, okay. Is that what happened? So, look. Terrible humans.
Bob started it. Okay.
So I teased this before the break. So Carson Wentz yesterday during the locker rooms. Carson Wentz during the locker room session yesterday. Do you stop laughing? Carson Wentz during the locker room session yesterday. Wait till Sam comes in here and starts telling some stories. She had a good line at the break. But anyway, so Carson Wentz in the locker room yesterday. The whole media is there. It's the media scrum and all that jazz, right? And he gets asked about the pressure from Nick Foles, right? And we played that for you earlier about how there, what Nick Foles has done as an Eagles starter and most recently as an Eagles starter is a tough act to follow. But what we had talked about all year with Carson Wentz in the time he was playing was that he never looked like the guy that we saw last year. The numbers were really good, and you could say that often he took the easy way out by checking down to Zach Ertz, who was always open and good for him. That's not a slight. But when you post a 102 quarterback rating with a fractured back coming off a knee injury, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And my point when he did go down after the second Dallas game was that no matter which way you slice it, the Eagles have a badass at quarterback in Carson Wentz. So we had talked about, though, despite the numbers looking good, he never really looked like himself, right?
Yeah.
He never looked like the guy that was that MVP-type player last year. So yesterday I had the opportunity to ask Carson if he ever felt as if he got back to that MVP form.
I felt like there's times I was, you know, I was constantly just trying to get back to feeling 100% like myself and everything. And, you know, it's tough, you know, wearing a knee brace and all those things, trying to get used to that. And, you know, I think that's something this offseason I'll continue to focus both on getting this back right and then just keeping the knee and everything and getting that full mobility back.
I asked Carson before the season last year about that knee brace, and it was something that he was trying to get his head around. It seems like even though the time he played with it this year, it was still something he never got used to.
Yeah. I guess because I wore them all the time. I really didn't have a problem with them. I felt like they were awesome.
Well, imagine being
a
running back.
Strong and bionic.
Or excuse me, you felt like
Iron Man.
Yeah. Iron Man.
I am a superhero.
You see this on my knees?
I am Super Bob Ross. But imagine being a quarterback and you're trying to run around. You're trying to escape would-be tacklers, sackers, if you will. And you're trying to get away from that. You're also trying to do rollouts and all that stuff. You're running with the football, as he would do.
It's not that bad.
I mean, for him, it seems like it was on his mind.
It's not that bad.
Hey,
get rid of the ball quicker.
How about that? Spoken like a true offensive
get
lineman.
Rid of the ball quicker.
Right. Never
Tom
goes
Brady
away.
Wears a knee brace.
Oh, now he's going to be Tom Brady?
I'm just saying.
No, that's a good point. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's one individual saying that it was on his mind. Not only was the knee brace on his mind, but if the knee brace is on his mind, the injury is still on his mind. Because there's no better reminder for anything than just throwing a cast or a knee brace on it or any type of brace to be like, yeah, I need help here. And it was on his mind.
Mm.
I mean, he's telling you right there that he never really felt like he got back to that form from last year.
Yeah.
Which, guess what? Our eye test was accurate.
Yeah, it was.
He wasn't right. He knows it. He wasn't right. Something was off, as we talked about. And Mark, as you said, something was off, but he still posted a 102 quarterback rating. Like, he's that. He could be that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is. I have no problem moving forward. Quarterback of the future, whatever it may be, I don't worry about injuries. I think you're going to see a special, special quarterback next year.
All right, let's get to Rob. And I agree with you, by the way, Bob. Let's get to Rob and Exton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, hey, buddy.
All right, good.
Fellas, first, Mark, in terms of the season, how I would describe it, I would call the first 11 weeks extremely frustrating and the remainder of the season very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to summarize it, I would summarize it as a failure.
I agree with you. If I have to say one or the other, failure or success, it was not a success.
But like I said, pleasantly entertaining, especially through the holidays. Made the holidays fun, if you will, if you know what I mean.
What do we always say in baseball season, Rob? Play meaningful games in September. The Eagles play very meaningful games in December.
And January.
And January, of course, yeah.
You are correct. But going in, guys, and I saw the article. By the way, I love Jason Avant on your show, Mark. He does a great job breaking it down. I really like his analysis.
He has done a great job. And he did call it a success. Jason's a little bit more of an optimistic than I am, but an optimist. But no, he does a great job breaking it down.
But I'll tell you something. You know, I don't think they could bring both guys back because I'm not sure that from a psychological perspective that would be in Carson's best interest if that was the decision that was made. But as you know, and this is going to be my last call on this particular subject, not my last call, but on the Nick Foles subject. And Bob, I understand where you're coming from. I really, really do. But Mark, you outlined a lot of statistics. This is what has happened over a period of time that you just can't argue with.
Mm-hmm.
A few moments ago. Now, on top of that, now when you think about the way the rest of the team played around a Nick Foles, that O line. Playing against, you know, some of the best defensive players in the last month or so. The quick release, the fact that he wasn't touched or sacked. Now go back and take a look when Carson's behind there holding the ball, how many hits he gets, how difficult it is for that O-line to play for him. So one of the things we say about great players, do they make the other players around them better? Do they perform at a higher level? And I think we'd have to say, if you look at this particular season's body work, despite that percentage number that you just raised, Bob, the entire team functioned at a much higher level. Much higher level with Nick leading the helm than with Carson leading the helm. And the last thing I would say is, could you imagine, fellas, if Carson, if Nick would have had some running backs behind him? I mean, if you look at the teams that are still remaining, I know they say running Trey means nothing in the NFL anymore. Well, it seems to me the running back is very prevalent in terms of success. And with what we had, we really overachieved a lot because we were really missing that LeGarrette Blount or that Ajayi, if you will, which I think was the one mistake that Howie may have made in the offseason. But the key thing in my messaging is, with Nick Foles under the center, the Philadelphia Eagles, across the board, he impacts not just offense, it's defense and special teams.
All right, Rob.
Overall leadership.
Rob, hold on, real quick. Does it change your mind at all? Is it food for thought at all that Carson even admitted right there because of the injury, he didn't feel like himself this year?
I don't think he's ever going to be the player we saw 2 years ago.
Why?
Breaking down, a body breaking down and a man's spirit breaking down, my friend.
Oof,
and
that's wow. Oof, Rob,
his spirit is broken down.
Yes. Isn't he on the IR, Bob?
What's that?
Isn't he on the IR?
No. He was. And Rob, I got to let you go. Good catching up with you as always, buddy. But no, he was not. He was never placed on IR this year. 610-632-0975. Sam, how's it looking for people when it comes to voting on the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
Today we asked, do you feel this season was a success? We have just under 1,000 votes so far. 68% say yes. 32% say no.
Oh, so close.
The opposite.
It'll get there.
Nice. All right. Coming up in a little bit here, I want to get into some good memories with Mark Zumoff. We'll talk to him at 9 o'clock today. 25 years as the 76ers announcer. And then we'll also get to some Nick Foles comments that he made yesterday about his not-too-distant future. And I'll tell you about Darren Sproles and a conversation I had with him yesterday when I was in the Eagles locker room. Also, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll tell you how you can win $1,000. That's right, coming up at 8, we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000. It's our 5K a day Big Green Giveaway, a nationwide contest. Listen, for the keyword at 8 a.m. when you hear it, enter the keyword on the Fanatic app or 97.5 thefanatic.com by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters will be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. That's right, $10,000 at the end of the contest next month. Complete rules for the contest available at 97.5thefanatic.com. brought to you by turnersvillejeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. Time at the Fanatic is 7:14.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Speaking of sexy, Trey Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Looking good today. Got the Jeff cap, got the scarf. Everything is complimenting one another. We tweeted the picture out. My favorite part of the picture, Sam, still is Trey with the pose in front of Trey's self-portrait of Trey in the background.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
There's never enough Trey.
By the way, Mama Farzetta, Eleanor, she might have a present tomorrow. Might have a present tomorrow. Had dinner with Mom and Dad on Friday night.
All right.
My mom brought me some stuff. And my family, my mom's from Baltimore. I've mentioned that before. But after Christmas, there'll always be like gifts from my aunts and uncles. I'm like, you don't, like little things, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't need to do that anymore. Like I'm good. Like I appreciate it. One of them got me a giant chocolate football.
That's awesome.
That is in my house right now if anybody wants it.
Hollow or solid?
I haven't really checked.
That's a key.
I'm pretty sure it's hollow. But speaking of this picture of Trey, Sam, we tweeted this out. What are the people saying?
We have one person, at Mike Sherlock. I hope I said not saying that right. But he said, Trey, you've been wilding since... Oh, wait, no, that's a different one. He said, Trey, how are you not sweating?
Well, we're keeping it in 40 degrees in here.
Yeah, we do keep it nice and frigid.
Yeah.
Sorry, the other one is at Hot Off the Stove, Stove Capital. Said, Trey, you've been wilding since you went vegan.
That's right.
Did I say that right that time?
Yeah, you did.
Good job.
It's bad when I have to tell you how to say wildin'.
At Big Poppy G2702 said, Trey Chic. And then at FL _ Eagles fan said, Trey looks like Cedric the Entertainer. But I will tell you, Trey, you're much more attractive.
Yeah, thank you. Much leaner. Thank you.
Trey, I totally support you if you want to go to HR about that, what she just said.
I don't stand for bullying in 2019.
Have you ever gotten Cedric the Entertainer?
No.
Yeah.
That's the first.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So I want to get into some of the Nick Foles comments, and you can always tweet us. What's that?
You know who my daughter said you look like? I just figured this out. You guys will appreciate this. You might not, Mark.
Thanks, jerk.
I just remembered it.
What's that?
She said you look like one of the characters on the Wii game.
Yeah. Exactly what was.
Am I right?
Did you ever play Wii?
Mark? Nintendo Wii?
You never played Wii?
Like bowling and tennis?
The avatars.
Dude, she said it. I started laughing my ass off because I used to play Wii a lot. I like Wii bowling and golf and all that.
Yeah.
You do. You look exactly like one of those guys.
Well, I'll have to find it.
Bald bearded men are the easiest to bowl.
Probably, but.
You know, in the witness protection program, they tell all the guys to shave their heads and grow a beard.
Yeah, well,
Is that factual?
No.
No.
I just made that up.
You sold it pretty well.
You sold it very well.
It's not a lie if you believe it. 610-632-0975. You know what else is not a lie?
And she meant that in a good way, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Every time she's on Wii, she picks that guy.
An 8-year-old video game system.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you meant to her. She was an 8-year-old.
No. But Jim Jackson, while we're on the subject, he always tells me I look like Nick Foligno, who's the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Right.
And I'm like, what an obscure... Yeah. And then when I tell like diehard hockey fans that, they're like, oh. Like I told Pat Egan, and Pat Egan was like,
oh my God, you do.
Dude. He was like excited. Like he thought I had morphed into Nick Foligno. And I'm like, dude, keep your distance.
I just had to Google him.
He's got hair.
Yeah.
But you don't know that with the helmet.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're looking at this thing with Nick Foles and all the guys, the turnover that's going to happen in the Eagles locker room. And one of the other guys that a lot of people are focusing on is Darren Sproles, because I think the guy is going to be a Hall of Famer. For as versatile as he has been throughout his entire career, I think when it comes to rushing, receptions, it comes to return game, I think the guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He could be done.
And how many Pro Bowls does he have?
Four?
I think it is four. He is top 8 all time
in all purpose yards
something like that. He's definitely top 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the conversation for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around for three Pro Bowls, two-time first-team All-Pro, Super Bowl champion, obviously. So he's been doing some damage in the league at the very tall height of 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
And he's 35 years old, and he, before the season, said that this would be his last go-around. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he only plays, what, five games this year, including the playoffs. And he, you know, it starts to come out that maybe he won't retire. So I had the opportunity to catch up with him yesterday while everyone was packing up their stuff, cleaning out their lockers. And I don't know if he was being emotional or not, but it sounded like, it certainly standing in front of him seemed like he was really looking for the right words. And I know he's not the most comfortable in front of the cameras and all that stuff, but I asked somebody else from the Eagles that's around him a lot longer than I am, or any of us really, and they said, yeah, I think if we would have hung around, you might have seen a tear.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really, really battling with the idea of walking away and being blessed to walk away and lucky to walk away at the age of 35 and still feel as a running back,
mm-hmm,
and still feel as good as he feels, or not being satisfied with the fact that he only played four games this year.
Yeah.
Is this how he wants to go out? Now, the story was that his young daughter told him, Daddy, you got to play again. You got to play one more year. You can't go out like this. I want to see you play. So I followed up with that yesterday, and I asked him, is your daughter still telling you she wants you to play? And he goes, yeah, nah, she kind of wants me home now.
Mm,
yeah.
And I wonder how much that is. I mean, Trey, I can't imagine what that must be for an athlete.
Yeah, because you want to be around with your kids, but then, like, after a month in, they're like, all right, Dad, you need to go back to work, you know. But the kids, man, it's always cool to be around with your kids and watch them grow up and be able to go to their practices, go to all of their games, and go sit at the park and do stuff with them, hang out, play video games with them. Because during the season, you're all in with your guys. But the tough thing is that when you walk away from this game, the locker room over everything is what you miss the most. And just the camaraderie that you have with your guys. And, that's one of, because you can never replace that. I know we're fortunate to have this type of job where we can sit in here and act how we want to and laugh. And then, you know, but a lot of guys aren't able to get into something like this. And they, you know, you miss that camaraderie. You miss that. You mean being around guys, you know, and that's hard. It's hard to walk away from it.
I've said that so many times over the years covering teams and stuff like that, and people would say, oh, look how lucky he is. He can retire at 35 with millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Oh, really? Become 35 and know that what you'd love to do is done. Yeah. And I'm serious. You know, like, we all work, and we're not fortunate enough to stop working at 35, but right. 35 is awfully young.
Yeah.
You have your whole life ahead of you.
You're a prodigy in anything else in life. If, like, you're 35 and you're killing it.
Sure.
There, it's the end.
Yeah, and when you retire at 30-something, you're like, all right, what am I going to do today?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's tough, man.
Trey's like, radio?
Nah.
Painting.
Yeah. You know, and then then I was fortunate enough to get into radio to do this. But, man, other than that, it's like, what do you do? I mean, I suck at golf. You know, so,
no, you don't.
I mean, I play. I have all the equipment. But, I mean, you know, it's not, you know,
if I find
I'm not
out,
going on
it's
the tour.
A good way, it's a good way to kill six hours.
5 hours. Yeah. But at a certain point, you'll probably get a little like, all right, what else do you want to do with yourself? And it's kind of hard, man.
If I find out you shoot an 80 on the golf course, I've shot an
80 before.
Okay. My play, I'm not any good. Anyway.
But lately I've been struggling just because I haven't swung.
It's January.
Because the last few times you've been out, it's been with me and Jamie.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
We'll bring you right down to our
line. That's right.
Play your down. 80 days are done.
Play down or up in this case to your opponents.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I can't imagine. Like, look, anything, we've all had professional transitions, right? Everyone's got to go through those things. And when you leave someplace, it's you miss the people. You don't necessarily miss the work, right? Mm-hmm. You always miss that camaraderie. I think, as you were saying, Trey, that's true with anybody that's got to, you know, make a business decision, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to something like that, I'm sure that really will nag at a player, especially because it's not like this is where it is different. It's not just the showing up 5 days a week, 9 a.m., leaving 5 a.m. with the same group of people. It is literally going to battle with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are fighting in the trenches with these people. You're sweating, blood, sweat, tears, all that stuff. Experiencing these highs and lows where everybody else wants the same exact goal. It's not like you're going into the NFL because that was your dream.
Yeah.
Your dream is to win a Super Bowl. Your dream is to be competing every single year to make the playoffs. That's your dream. And to all of a sudden walk away from that as a guy like Darren Sproles, a guy who's done it for years for three different teams and done it so well. At I mean, talk about underdogs, 5'6". And he's been able to do it at such a high level. To battle with that decision as your family is telling you one moment, hey, you should play another year. And then all of a sudden, oh, you know what? Maybe you should be home. That's got to be an extremely tough thing to go through. I couldn't imagine what that must be like. Especially when you're, you got a young daughter at home that's telling you, yeah, dad, yeah, go play. Oh, on second thought, I kind of like your home.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about it, though, is that you've had a long career. This is something that where you can say, you know what, when you're ready to hang it up, all right, I've given it all, everything that I've had. It's not one of those situations where you really wanted this and you got hurt and now the game is over.
It wasn't taken away from you.
Yeah, it wasn't taken away from you. So, you know, that makes it a little easier when you can say, all right, you know what, I'm ready now to walk away.
Yeah. All right, well, here you go. So Nick Foles is somebody else that could be walking away from the city of Philadelphia, and he's earned the right to choose where he wants to play next year. And as I've said many times before, it's going to be most likely the situation where he gets a $2 million buyout. It's a mutual option with the team. I don't think he'll be franchise tagged and traded, but I do think that the most likely scenario is he just ends up being able to choose wherever he can play next year, and I think that's what's going to happen. So after they lose to the Saints, he talked about how he wanted to enjoy that flight home with his teammates possibly one last time and then get back to Philadelphia and then, you know, talk about things shortly thereafter. So yesterday he gets asked about how he reflected, if he reflected back on the season and what he could be doing in the not too distant future following the season's end.
And I was honestly so hungry when I got home last night. There wasn't much I was thinking about, but besides food, and thank goodness we had some pizza in the fridge. So that's all I was really thinking about. And I went to sleep. So, you know, over these next couple weeks, it'll be a great time for my wife and I to, you know, just spend time as a family with our daughter and our dog and other family members, our nieces and our nephew. Because that's what life's about, too. You know, after the game, I get to open my phone and look at pictures of my daughter in the snow. You know, that after a tough game, that's something that's so special, knowing that I get to go home and be with my family, because ultimately, you know, I'm a husband and a daddy first. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure my wife and I'll have a lot of discussions. We'll pray about what our next step is. But, you know, we're grateful for every opportunity we've had. And, you know, ultimately we know that the good Lord will lead us in a new direction that, you know, we'll see what happens. But we know that we're going to have faith that, you know, we'll glorify him.
Wait, Nick is religious? When did that start? No,
is that the same Lord that led Reggie White to Green Bay where there was more money?
My agent is God.
Oh,
that's
okay.
How that works.
Right, I was just wondering. I wasn't sure.
But in all seriousness, when you look at or you listen to what he's saying there, especially the first part of that, like, he just wanted to go home and, I was about to say digest everything that just happened, but yeah, he just wanted to crush some pizza, go to bed, and sleep on it.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that's going to be, what, I think they have till, what, mid-February before they
February
really
February 12th, I believe is what it is, yeah.
Before they have to make a decision with anything with Nick Foles?
Yeah. And the thing with Foles, too, you know, and you can see that Foles is really into his walk, you know, when you're talking about his faith. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, like, he's very serious about this, and he's going to pray on it. And if he feels like, you know what, that move for me, he's not chasing money. He's chasing after. He's going to pray for direction, and whatever direction he feels is best for him to go in, that's where he's going to go. It might not necessarily be the best financial situation. It's going to be where he feels at peace at, and then he'll just take it from there.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
Uh-huh.
Because, and I think players that have a religious foundation, or players that just feel like they need to meditate and just spend time in thought, however they want to do that, everyone does what they feel that they need to do, and good for them. But with Nick Foles, I don't know how much of the Nick Foles that wanted to retire 3 years ago, or 4 years ago rather, is still around. I think he's got a renewed sense of love of the game. And I think that down the line, that life of whatever he wants to do after football is there waiting for him. But I think he knows over the next 5, maybe even as much as 10 years, he could spend in the NFL making money, being successful, and playing a game that he loves to play. And he reiterated yesterday during the locker room session just how much fun he's having playing this game. He loves playing this game and really didn't say anything about retiring and down the line. Now, it could be a situation where, yeah, maybe his family does tell him, you know, I think you've had enough. and I think you've made money, mm-hmm. and maybe he signs one more decent deal, but nothing where you're thinking it could be a, maybe not even a 5-year deal. Maybe he signs a lucrative 2-year deal and then hangs it up and proceeds to do whatever he wants to do. But I don't think that Nick Foles that was even considering retirement is around. And that version of Nick Foles is the guy that I believe made him say after a Super Bowl, yeah, I'll be a backup. But I think after not just winning the Super Bowl, I think also after having some success this year, I think it's kind of reinvigorated him to the point where he wants to take over reins of a starting team in some other franchise.
You could say he resurrected his career.
I see what you did there.
I see Jesus joke.
I see that wasn't a Jesus joke. Well, kind of. Jay in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Fellas, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Few things. I'm sad that the hear me out.
Don't use that word. All right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you hear what I'm saying. Don't use that word.
Okay, I'm not going to use that word. A lot of people is senseless in the state of talking about a quarterback. When it comes to Nicky Foles, I think he was disrespected in Philadelphia. Because what other quarterback you know won 2 Super Bowls in Philly? Just answer my question. That went back to back and won 2 Super Bowls. None. I think Carson Wentz is laughing a little bit too hard for them to just lose a major game and they're going home. And that's all I had.
I don't think Jay, thanks for the call. I don't think he's laughing at all.
Why was Carson Wentz laughing?
He wasn't. He did laugh at one point, and it's when he could not say the phrase, he said, she said. Did you catch that?
No.
Basically, he was being asked about things being said in the media or whatever. And he's like, you know, I don't want to get caught up in
All
right, done. You're making another thing pop out. Yeah. Stressing me out. You're stressing me out.
Yeah, but that was the only part. That was the only part he laughed. He's taking this real serious. I do think that there are young guys that would come into the league, and despite being injured 2 years in a row, I do think there's guys out there that would take the stance of this is my team no matter what, and take it for granted almost. And he's not doing that. If by him saying, as he said yesterday, by him saying the team's going to do whatever is in the best interest of the team, that's acknowledging that, yeah, there's a possibility where I'm not the guy.
I thought of that, too. It's funny you say that. I thought of that, too. Was there a tinge of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there has to be. He has to look at it and say, yeah, I'll feel better next year, but maybe I'm not here.
I don't care what your bosses tell you. If you're out there and you're in a backup role, you're injured, whatever, and you're sitting out and you're looking at what the other guy's doing and he's winning the Super Bowl, I rattled off the numbers for you earlier. Here are the numbers when it comes to Nick Foles and what a guy like Carson Wentz is trying to follow. You've got a guy that obviously he's got the Super Bowl in the back pocket, the Super Bowl MVP in the back pocket as well. 10-3. While you've been on the same roster, he's 10-3. Nick, 24-13, including games in the playoffs as an Eagles starter. You're looking at, since his rookie season, 23-7. The NFL records that he shares, the franchise records he's set. That's what you have to follow. And by the way, side note, as you were the starting quarterback of this football team, Carson Wentz, your offense only averaged 22 points per game. Nick Foles comes in, next thing you know, you're averaging 28.6, the same number you were last year as an offense. That's pretty damning. That can't feel too good. I want my quarterback thinking his back against the wall. I want him not being comfortable. I want him feeling like he needs to push himself every single time. I don't want him getting comfortable. I don't want him getting complacent. I don't think that gene, fortunately for Eagles fans and the Eagles franchise, I don't think that gene exists in Carson Wentz. I think he will push on. I think he will fight, and I think he will get back to that MVP caliber play that he had last year. 610-632-0975. A little late for a break here. Time at the Fanatic is 7:42.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas on the update. Sam Wilson with you today as well. This is a morning show takeover today, fellas, brought to you by Window Nation. That's right. Brought to you by Window Nation. Call Window Nation today. Save $200 off every window plus no down payment, no payments, no interest. For one full year, call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Trey, I got to tell you, I hate to tell you this, buddy, but I got to be honest. You're now only, you're the second best hockey analyst I've ever heard. I'm sorry. To take that for what you will.
I know.
But Snoop,
as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
But Snoop Dogg has overtaken you.
Okay.
Snoop is now doing hockey. Are you aware of this?
I know.
If you're going to be overtaken by someone, Trey,
might as well.
Snoop is the way to go.
Snoop-a-loop.
Okay. I have to get better.
Yeah, you'll get there.
You know
there.
What? I'll take this, and you know, we're going to learn from this.
Use this as motivation.
Yeah, we're going to use this as motivation.
An attack.
Yeah. You know, does it put a little pressure on me? Maybe. You know, I don't know.
I knew you would take it as constructive criticism.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to listen to this, take some notes, and we're going to learn from this, and we're going to get better.
And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to do that hockey.
You're damn
right.
We're
going to do it better than anybody's ever done.
You're damn right.
By the way, the Flyers won last night.
Yes,
7-4. How about that?
7-4.
Reimer.
Yeah.
The Reimer, a little Hattie. Had a Hattie.
Yeah, Nolan Patrick, 4 points.
How about that?
Okay, woo! There's your Flyers talk for today.
And Snoop Dogg doing a Penguins LA Kings game, I believe this was, over the weekend.
The site, I guess the play he's narrating is the fight, a little scrum before the fight.
Okay.
Good job. Hands up.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he's stalling on him. He's final cut. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man, to the middle of the rink. Let's go. Number 3 wanted. I like that. Who was number 3 for us?
Deion Phaneuf.
Deion, go get cracking, Deion. Yeah, go get him, Deion. Get him, Deion. Move, Deion. Get out the way. Go get him. Go get him.
Still jarring with him. Still chirping.
Okay, right. I like that. So when they do get into a competition like that, the referee has the sole control power to say, y'all not going to fight, right?
Mm. They can tell you that. You don't have to listen.
Well, they listen right there.
Yeah. See the big boys get in, the linesmen. Those guys have the toughest job.
Okay, all right. So that was just mushing going on. It was more mushing than fighting.
Yeah. Face wash.
Okay, all right.
Those gloves are stinky.
That's why I love this sport, man. That's why I love this, because you got to be 100% man to play this, man.
Snake. They should do that like once every 2 weeks.
Yes.
Just give them a period.
I will say style, 10 out of 10. I will say delivery, 10 out of 10. I will say honesty.
Let's get it cracked.
11 out of 10. Energy, 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then I'll say knowledge, I'll say 1 for 10.
Yeah. But he knew his weaknesses. He asked questions.
Deion Phaneuf. You should know Deion Phaneuf.
Yeah, who was the actress he was married to or engaged to?
Alicia Cuthbert?
Yeah.
So there you go.
She's a nice one.
I think, did they not get married?
I don't know.
Girl next door, man. Ay, caramba. Trey, your evaluation.
Oh, that was good. I enjoyed listening to Snoop right there. You know, that was extremely entertaining.
I hope you learned.
Okay. I'll be ready for the next one. Next time around.
Let's get Mac and Broomall. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mac?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, man.
Yeah, relative to Nick Foles, and something I've not heard anybody talk about, the possibility that maybe he doesn't want to leave, maybe he wants to stay. And I've called in on other radio stations and ran into nobody on the radio station that's read the book Birds of Prey. Have any of you read that? It's written by Rob Matty.
Yeah, Rob Matty. Yeah, I've skimmed it, I can tell you that much. And Rob, but I've heard great things about the book. I've seen the display all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's got really good reviews. I did read it. And just based on its content, I'm not really 100% sold on the fact that he really wants to leave. And,
Okay. Here's the thing, though. That book was about, what do you call it? I think Carson Wentz wrote the foreword for that.
Yeah, he did.
That book was also written, I think, shortly after the Super Bowl win, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So I think we're looking at a different Nick Foles. Whatever's in that book, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying things might have changed in the mindset of Nick Foles.
Yeah, I can understand. And then there's another thing. A good article was in Sports Illustrated. Because I fish too, fly fishing in a casting dry flies to rising rainbow trout. He was about to give up football, and then he was in some gorge
in a mountain range in California. They couldn't even get a cell phone call. And as soon as he came out after this three-day, you know, float trip, he got a message, a text or something from Andy Reid saying, you know, I believe you got more football left in you. And one thing led to another. And, you know, then look what happened.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be totally surprised if he stayed. Just for what, you know, I guess it was Trey Thomas about it, was talking about his faith. I just turned you on as I was coming out of work. I listened to you on the radio at work, and I work third shift. And I was just listening to you, one of your other crew there talking about this. And he's serious about his faith, I believe he wants to follow the will of the Lord, and that's what he's going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed though.
I don't think any of us would be surprised. And thanks for the call. And whatever you do as a human to look for inspiration, you do you. And I think that's great. And I think people need that inspiration or motivation, as we've discussed. But when it comes to Nick Foles, I don't know if that's leading him to a position of being content with being a backup. It could. And I believe that's why he was back this year. And I also believe that's why he didn't want to approve a trade anywhere else. And there was that report about possibly going to Cleveland?
Right, yeah.
So I don't think that Nick Foles is still there. I think he wants to go out and be a starter and lead a team. And he was asked about that yesterday, and he said, yeah, I want to be able to lead a team. Could it, if the right situation doesn't present itself this offseason, could it mean that, yeah, maybe I'm just better suited as a backup in Philadelphia? Maybe that's what happens. It would not shock me. I don't expect it to happen is what I'd say.
Well, if they say to Nick Foles, you're going to go somewhere and be a backup, I mean, is there any better place he'd want to be?
No, there wasn't here, no.
Like, you know, his family's established here. He's got a house over in South Jersey. He's always said that he loves the Philadelphia, sure. But I think you're right when you say that fire's been relit for him to be wanting to be a starter in this league and the leading organization.
Yeah, I still think that guy is coming back from that fishing trip, if you will. I think the guy came back as a guy ready to play in the NFL. I think, look, he didn't play a lot in Kansas City. I think he started one game and played in another.
He played three games, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was, he played well in that time. And then he came to Philadelphia and won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think his feeling about football is a lot different since Jeff Fisher said,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.